thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really, really grateful. I live in Medway at the moment, in Gillingham, Gillingham in Medway, but I used to come from Lewisham. I used to go to the old Cheeseman's in Rye Lane, so that shows my age. So I've been doing a Get Centre work for 6 years now, and I absolutely love it, and it was great seeing that testimony up there. Also really pleased that you're getting involved in so many other things. I looked on your website and you've got the food cycle and the community cafe. It's really good to come to a church that has obviously got such a heart for the poor. And I'm privileged to launch the Job Club starting in September, and it's great that you've got these three people now, Magda and Zoe and Rachel, really reaching out to people who are struggling without work. So a lot of what I say applies to both, but I'm going to focus on the Job Club side of things. My talk's called Piercing the Darkness. Your Job Club, your debt centre, brings God's light into the darkness that consumes so many people in Peckham and in Medway too. You bring light to people like Bev. You can volunteer, like we said. So if you haven't already volunteered, ask Rachel or one of the other people, what can I do to help? Because there's so many things that they were talking about. I'm going to talk to you about Ben. Ben is in darkness. The darkness started to creep in when Ben left school. He had dreams, ambitions, but quickly realised that they just weren't working out. He applied for loads of jobs, but rejection and rejection and rejection. And the darkness grew blacker. He didn't know where to go, didn't know what to do, didn't know which direction to go in. He was lost, he was frustrated. He just couldn't get anywhere. Hope and light were fading fast. Mental abuse from his stepfather seemed to confirm he was a failure. His mental health started going downhill. He began to stay indoors. He didn't go out for 8 years. Little by little, the light was extinguished. For all those years, Ben did nothing. He never socialised. He had no friend, no girlfriend, nothing. He could see his life dwindling away and began to think, what's the point anymore? The darkness was so great, he even thought about suicide. It was pitch black. Now, if you step outside the doors of this church, you know this as well as I do, you won't have to go far before you walk past homes shrouded in darkness. They might not look different from outside, but inside, the lost, the broken, the abandoned, people like Ben. Living in the darkness of unemployment, the darkness of poverty, the darkness of debt. Our Job Club members, this is slide three, they've missed meals, they're hungry, they're not sleeping, they've experienced mental health issues, they've contemplated suicide. People who are trapped in prison, living in darkness with no hope to light the way. At a CAP event, we had a guy and he said, this is what described my home before, prison. But now I've got a label that says home, thanks to CAP. These are people God loves dearly. Beautiful people made in God's image. Brothers, sisters, children, knowing they have no hope, knowing something's wrong, seeing their family ripped apart. People for whom there's nothing but darkness. God knows the darkness and misery that poverty causes. It robs people of their dignity as they struggle to feed their children. It robs people of their closest relationships as arguments about money or jobs cause relationship breakdown. And it robs people of hope as they have rejection letter after rejection letter. One lady said to me, when you've got no money, you're nothing, you're But, this is the good news, don't want to depress you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. And God, who in the beginning said, let there be light in the darkness, has been calling his people throughout scriptures to help the poor, bring his light on the darkness of poverty. In Isaiah 58, God outlines what he really wants his people, us, to do in the face of poverty, how he wants us to honour him, how he wants us to worship him. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, says Isaiah, to loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, and set the oppressed free, and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry, provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, your healing will quickly appear. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger, with the malicious talk, and if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. When we help the poor and spend ourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, darkness is replaced by light. The night is replaced by noonday. Jesus is the light. He said, while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. And then he passed the baton on to us, to you, to me, and said, you are the light of the world. It's a bit like the Olympic torch that carries the fire. Jesus has passed his torch of light onto us, onto you, onto me. And it's in your hands, it's in our hands, and we'll be taking out into lives that never knew there was hope, either directly through Rachel and Zoe and Magda and so on, and Winifred. So I just want you to just close your eyes for just 1 minute and visualize Jesus saying to you, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are to carry Jesus' light into every dark corner of this world. You are to shine his light and hope where there's despair, where there's hurt and pain, and bring his healing and love, where there's poverty and hunger, to bring help and compassion. Jesus' mission was to proclaim good news to the poor, and so is ours. He's sending us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. As Jesus declared in his opening speech, when he said, this is my job, it's also our job. Jesus' mission is our mission. He calls us to bring his light into the darkness. We are to pierce the darkness of despair and poverty and bring light of his hope. The great news is you're already doing that through your debt centre, and you're going to be doing it even more through your job club. That is what the purpose of Christians Against Poverty and these ministries are, but that is also the purpose of you as the church. You are a CAP church. You are a church that has embraced this ministry that enables, if you like, gives you the tools to do what you want to do as a church and what you know you should do as a church. So well done. I love coming to churches where they've been doing it longer than I have and seeing how it makes a difference. So how will the Job Club pierce the darkness? For people who've been written off and out of work for years, they'll join the Job Club along with many other job clubs. They'll hear about the Job Club through you. If nobody tells anybody about the Job Club, it won't work. So you know people who are struggling with unemployment. You know people who are struggling with debt. I know 1 in 9 people struggle with debt, so you must know people like that. Tell them. You might save a life like Ben's. And as, obviously, it'll be in the GP surgeries, in the job clubs, in the job centres and so on, but as they pick up that leaflet and make that call, so the first ray of light shines in. When the friendly coach, like Magda, welcomes them into the job club with warm greeting and genuine concern, darkness is pierced. When they learn how to do a really good CV, when they get help searching for jobs and encouragement from one another, when they get volunteer experience, when they receive that encouraging text, when these things happen, or that cake, I like that idea, when these things happen, light and hope burst into the darkness. When they're invited maybe on a CAP discovery break, a short holiday, giving them a chance to think about the bigger issues and God. And finally, that day when they get that phone call to say, we'd love to offer you a job. 38% of Job Club members find work. That's staggering. That's amazing. These are people who've been out of work usually for an average of 2 years. They're the hardest people to help get back into work, but there's always hope. We've helped over 1,700 people to step back into employment in the last 3 years. So that's really good. That's what you are doing, and that's what you're going to be doing. Now, you probably know more about CAP than I do because you've been going longer, but I just briefly want to mention the debt centres. Debt affects every area of someone's life. It destroys them. And Rachel and Winifred and Claire are going to be doing a magnificent, are doing, and are going to be doing for Claire, a magnificent job in reaching out, bringing people freedom from debt. Over 2,500 people become debt-free every year. £3 million worth of debt is repaid or written off every month. 93% of our clients stay debt-free, and 82% continue to use their budget. That's figures, but I was talking to, I'll make up their names, Ben and Ruth the other day, and they were one of my first clients, and they've been debt-free now for 4 or 5 years, something like that. And they sat down and they said, we're still debt-free, we're still sticking to our budget, we're still saving for what we want. And we've just saved and spent a load of money on this lovely three-piece suite. We've never had a new one before, but we've done it through CAP. 4 years ago, still impacting their life. And Martin Lewis says we're wonderful. CAP are unsurpassed when it comes to debt help. We also run similar services for people who are captive by dependencies and addictions. Fresh Start. There's a Fresh Start in Southwark area, so fairly close. And Life Skills, helping people who are on a long-term low income. Just helping them with self-worth, cooking, shopping on a budget. And again, there's one in Southwark. Every year, CAP brings good news to over 21,500 people. Oh, it says 23,000. That's even better. 23,000. All of this is fantastic, absolutely wonderful. It's what Jesus did. He brought light into people's lives. But we also bring salvation into people's lives, which is brilliant. I've seen loads of people become Christians. It changes their life. The people I mentioned earlier, who I called Ben and Ruth, they had no knowledge of Jesus. They gave their lives to Jesus. They're part of the church and are completely settled in now and completely changed their whole life. So I'm going to skip the next few readings and just go on to say that we're going to watch a film from about Ben, and then I'll just got a few words and then I'll finish. Okay, sorry, I've mucked you all up by changing the order.
Life didn't pan out the way I really would have liked it to be. You know, I had dreams, I had goals, I had ambitions. Applying for these jobs and never hearing back, I didn't know where to go, I didn't know which direction to turn in anymore. It was more like frustration, like I was frustrated that I couldn't get anywhere, you know. Also, there was a lot of mental abuse from my stepfather during this 8-year depression, stuck inside. I didn't want to go down even, didn't want to leave my bedroom. I never socialised, no friends, no girlfriend, no nothing. My life's just dwindling away, you know, what's the point anymore? I got really depressed, my depression kicked in, my mental health got really bad. It was just a really dark place. It was, I even felt like suicide at one point. One friend from school, I mean, who calls in, he invited me out one night, and the countless amount of times I said no and said I wasn't going out. This one time, I just thought, you know what, I will go out. And then Gareth, who I met at the bar, he introduced me into going to a job club, and I started going to a job club. You know, I met more friendly people, more nice people, and they were looking for jobs as well as myself. So, you know, I thought, you know, I'm enjoying this, you know, because there's people like me, you know, it's good, it's good atmosphere. It kind of like let light in. That gave me a newfound confidence in myself. It gave me more self-esteem, you know, more reassurance. My anxiety started to get less. You know, it's just like a lot of that dark stuff and a lot of my dark thought process, a lot of it went away. It was only a matter of time then before I landed myself a job. And it was like, wow, this is what I've wanted. I've got a job. Been there 1 year, 1 month now. You know, doing really well in work. But to have a job, it means the world. I mean, I'm actually doing something with myself. I'm not at home in that dark place. I'm out and about, you know, got my own money. I feel more independent in myself. You know, it's fantastic. Gareth, he actually introduced me into the church where he goes, which was a light church. And over time, I started going frequently to this light church, you know, on Sundays. And I found that everyone were, like, so, you know, open and nice and smiley and polite, you know, and loving and caring. And then it spiralled off to where I was actually going to the Alpha course. Now I'm on the right path. I know I am. I've got the Lord on my side. So I made the decision to get baptised. It's a totally different world. It's been flipped upside down on its head, and it's like, this is the life I want. I need to leave the darkness behind. You know, no more of that. Push forward, you know. It's great. There's no need to worry anymore, you know. You've got the strength of the Lord and Saviour, and that is all you need. All I need is God, because I'm not going to change for nothing.
I'm actually going to go back to some of those slides because I was thinking it was very short of time, but I think I started earlier than I was expecting, so that's really good. So I'm just going to say a little bit more about the light of salvation, because I think that's so important and so exciting, that we're not just, with Ben's story, we're not just getting him a job, we're also showing him, giving him the opportunity to give his life to Jesus. Now, I did feel when I was doing this, there might be people here who are perhaps new or perhaps haven't yet given their lives to Jesus, or perhaps younger. Can I just highly recommend it? Speak to someone afterwards. It's really worth it. I've been around for quite a long while, and it's worth it. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's worth it. So if you're here and you don't know Jesus, can I strongly suggest that you find out more? I'm sure there's something you can do to find out more. Speak to any of the people who've been up the front, or the vicars, or anyone else who can direct you what to do. So I want to say a little bit more about my couple that I mentioned. I said they knew nothing about Jesus apart from Doc Cotton in EastEnders. In fact, when I got there, they said to each other, before I got there, they said, whatever happens, we're not going to end up like Doc Cotton. And I happened to say, do you know not all Christians are like Doc Cotton? And they fell about laughing, and I thought, what have I said? What have I said? But actually, they'd come right the way through. They used to just come round for a brew, and they'd fling questions at me, every question you could possibly imagine, everything. And they would just come round for another brew, come round tomorrow night, talk more. And they got to the point where they said they did want to give their lives to Jesus. They started coming to church. They became they got baptised. They became church members. They've gone out now as befrienders. They've gained 3 more children. I don't know if that's counted. They've married each other. And their whole lives have changed around. And she has introduced her friend and her friend's 2 children to Jesus. That is changed lives. That is the light of God coming into someone's life, but not stopping there, but flowing out to other people's lives. Another lady, Tina. Tina tried to commit suicide 6 times in the 2 weeks before I went round there. When I went round there, she was so down, there wasn't an up. Normally when we share how CAP works, you get a little bit of a, oh, this might work for me. There was no glimmer, there was nothing. And I said to her, is there anything we can do that would just give you a bit of hope, a bit of something. And she said, it's my daughter's graduation in 3-4 months. I'd love to go and see it. It's in Liverpool. So it wasn't actually in my area. I went there because there wasn't a debt centre there. So I went to the two churches I knew in that area and said, would you be prepared to donate 60 quid apiece? We're not talking megabucks, 60 quid apiece, so this lady can go to the graduation. I did have somebody from my church who was going to do it if they couldn't. And they said yes. So we got her up there. She went to the graduation. When she phoned me after that, she started talking a little bit positive. She'd had a good time. She'd risked a couple of other things as well, like going out, which she wouldn't normally do. She started going to one of those churches that had just helped her and supported her. She started attending more regularly. She started coming to events. She was having panic attacks, but she was coping with them. She got to the point she again gave her life to Jesus, got baptized, became a member of that church, and is now next year's worth of that one, of Ben. She's Ben for the debt centre for next year. She's actually filmed, and she is transformed. She helps run Cap Money, and she goes and sits in the local hub with a bright green Cap T-shirt on, directing anybody who wants to talk to her to Cap Money or to Cap Debt, and will share her faith with any and everyone. At one point, she was in a bus shelter, and there was somebody there, and she got chatting to them, and she was reading a Rod Williams book, which I gather he came yesterday. He was reading his book, and they started talking about the book, and this guy said, well, I'm from London, and I'm into knife crime, but I'd like to read that book. So she said, tell you what, I'll give you the book, you give me your knife. And off he went. So the changes from someone who was scared and in domestic violence and was being threatened with murder, she went to someone who was bold and willing to step out. So those are changed lives. And I'm sure you've got loads of stories. Obviously, it's harder when you're local because of confidentiality, although that one has been very obvious. So going back to Ben's story, absolutely fantastic. Tina's story, fantastic. The other couple's story, fantastic. It just blows my mind away that God is, and I know he can, but it's somehow that he's doing it with us now, today, is just transforming lives with relatively little effort. I mean, I'm not saying it's not hard work being a job coach or a debt centre manager, but with relatively little effort, just as we start being the church, as you welcome visitors, as we go out, people's lives are being changed. And every time I see those videos or hear myself say these stories, I think, what can I do? What else can I do? What can I do to get involved? So what can you do to get involved? Firstly, pray. Please pray. You prayed earlier, but keep praying. It is hard. People will be struggling. You're hearing bad, hard stories time after time after time, and only glimmers sometimes of light. It is hard, isn't it? So please pray for the people involved. Pray for the befrienders. Pray for the support team. Pray for the prayers. Secondly, welcome. When people come, welcome them. You might be a young person here today. You don't know the difference it makes by welcoming people. When Tina came to our church, one little boy who was 8 gave her a hug. That's all he did. He gave her a hug and said hello on our Cap Sunday. Do you know, she's never forgotten that. That was a massive step for her towards becoming a Christian. One little boy gave her a hug. That is the difference. Also had children who've known their friends, parents are struggling, tell them about CAP. I've had that as well. So don't think, oh, I'm young, it doesn't count. You can make a massive difference welcoming the families of the people who come in and also telling your friends that there is hope if their parents need it. So pray. Tell people. It's so important to tell people they won't know. Volunteer. There's loads of opportunities to volunteer. Speak to Rachel or one of the others afterwards and say, well, this is what I can do. Can it be used? There's lots of different gifts. If you're here now and you're thinking, actually, I haven't got a job or I'm actually struggling with money, that's fine. That's what we're here for. Please don't feel embarrassed. Tell someone. We can get help. The help's here, right here in this church. You're really fortunate. There are some places where there isn't help. Finally, I would love to offer you more stories because I don't want to carry on forever. I've got a book here. Well, maybe I would, but you wouldn't want me to carry on forever. Book here, nevertheless, written by John Kirkby, giving to you it free if you sign up to the mailing list. You've been given a sheet of paper, hopefully a pen. Fill in your name and address and tick the boxes to say we can contact you. Otherwise, we can't send you the mailing list. Fill that in, you will get a free book. If you've already had this one, I've got another free book. So please, if you're a CAP church, you want to know more about CAP, you're listening to me, you do. So just fill that in if you haven't already done that and get your free book and then you can hear more about CAP. And finally, if you're able to, it would be great if you're able to give money regularly. The most important thing is that you give to your church first. We're not trying to detract from church. But if you feel this is a ministry you would like to support in addition, then again, you can fill in the giving part of that sheet on top of getting the mailing list and you will get the help. Okay, so I'm so glad that this church is setting out on another CAP ministry, reaching even more people on behalf of this church in partnership with CAP. I'm so glad. You are transforming lives. You are completely, well, we've seen it with Bev, but we've also seen it with the other stories I've told, which I'm sure can be duplicated here. You're at the forefront of social change. You're giving everyone a chance to find Jesus. Thank you for joining in this life-transforming work. So afterwards, please catch me. I'm at stand at the back corner. Don't just all disappear for coffee and don't get your book or whatever. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. But if you want to respond to this, there's the prayer team will be somewhere over there. If you want to become a Christian or if you want prayer for anything or these issues have touched you for other reasons, please get prayer. If you want to volunteer, I think, Rachel, will you be around the back as well? Yeah, Rachel and I will be at the back. If you need help, we'll be at the back. And get your free book, and if you're able to, give to CAP. So thank you very, very much for listening to me, and thank you for being a wonderful CAP church over 10 years.